MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Draco Impact Armor, Intimidation Clothing, Valley Auto, All Out Fight Shop, Ink Tank Tattoo, Game Changer Clothing, Hype Fight Store, Bushido.ca, GFL.tv, Rear Naked Smoke, Pro-Am Belts, Vision Smoke Shop, Big T's Nightclub, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Triumph Fitness, Central Oregon Trike, Crossroader Clothing, and Jax Media.
Yeah, I dropped the ball on that one.
Who gives it up and who be rocking all that rough stuff? All in the cut is young dads with the pimp struck. Construct game on those who act lame. See, ain't a damn thing changed. You know I ride the neighborhood slow. Blocks on you and let the wind blow. True indeed, I'm having the ball. Pick up the phone and get my homies a call. What's up with y'all? Living in the city where we born and born. Roll up for Philly, we packing tight. What a pity, what a sight. Inhaling something more, damn, I got what I need.
All right, everybody. Sunday Night Fights Live. I want to thank our great sponsor, Persist Headwear. You guys check them out. They're also a great sponsor to MMA Madhouse and another great sponsor to this show, Takedown Grapplewear. And let's bring them on, the Intercontinental Champ of MMA Talk Radio, Mr. Ray Lopez.
What's up, Skippy? How you doing? And how you doing, everybody out there listening?
I am... we both have had an insane weekend in the mixed martial arts world. Mine overseas, yours in your backyard. Let's start by because we've only we got a packed show tonight, folks, and you're not going to want to miss this show. Definitely get your friends hooked up to this link. Share it, love it. Check us out on Facebook. You had a substantially better weekend than me and when it comes to MMA. Why don't you tell the fans a little bit about what went down this weekend?
You know what? This last Friday, Bama USA, best night in takedown management history. We had Melanie Lacroix step in the cage, out of systems training. We had her on last week. She steps back in the cage after a few years off. Comes in and she dominates. She gets performance of the night. We had Benji Gomez out of Knuckleheads, came to Bama USA, got that big win over David Duran, the Farmer of Destruction. I've known Benji since the amateurs when we went head to head with those guys. Got nothing but respect for Knuckleheads. You got some great fighters coming in out of there, like Tony Ferguson. He came out of Knuckleheads. They got Victor Ortiz, the boxer out of Knuckleheads. It's a great camp there to see Benji, get his first pro win. It was great. Latif Williams, he's a Allegheny County firefighter, came up with a big win. My boy Corey Kelly came a little short, but he looked good in his fight. And the biggest one of all, Terrion Flash Ware, takedown fighter, systems fighter, came out on top, 5-round war with Eric Winston. We had him on 2 weeks ago. Terrion is a new Bama USA bantamweight champion. It was a 5-round war. These two kids put on a show, and I'm telling you, not only am I Terrion's manager, but on Friday night, I became his biggest fan. And that's saying a lot because, being in the business, you work with these people and you're part of their team, but you have your favorites, like Cain Velasquez, Diego Sanchez, these are guys who are my favorite fighters. Chael Sonnen, these are guys that I'm fans of. Now I'm not carrying on just his manager. I'm his biggest fan. He impressed the hell out of me the way he fought that fight. Eric Winston impressed me. That kid does not know the word quit. These two just beat the crap out of each other, and Terrion came out with the win and got that strap. It was a tough week for him. His grandma died 2 days before the fight. This is a woman who raised him. He dedicated the fight to her. When the fight was over and he was announced the winner, it was just all kinds of emotions came out, not only out of him, but the whole team, because we knew what he was dealing with. And it was a great win for him. It doesn't get any better here in L.A. than being the Bama champ. Brett Roberts is the premier show here in Alley.
Now, we've been blessed on quite a few of our shows to talk Bama USA, and I'm glad to see, you know, your boy get that strap. I'll be honest, I'd like to see him get a defense in or two, because I don't think he's going to be regional too much longer, you know what I mean? And there's nothing wrong with that, folks. I mean, you've got to grow in the sport, but he's starting to really, really, you know, kind of come into his own, and I think it's only a matter of time before we see him at the level of, you know, Maximum Fighting Championship or XFC or, you know, M1, that kind of range, you know, and to continue to grow. So big props to him.
Saturday morning, my phone was blowing up. I had Bellator hit me up. King of the Cage is proposing a very big fight. So right now, you know, his options are open. You know, we're still waiting to hear from Sean Shelby. If you're out there, give us a call. You know, we're not hard to find, but we're weighing all our options right now. You know, he's taking a mini vacation, so when he gets back, we're going to sit down and see what our next move is. You know, he definitely, you know, defending that Bama title really sounds good. More than likely, it would be against Chris Beall.
Ooh.
That right there would be a super fight itself.
Yeah.
And like I said, King of the Cage has offered a UFC vet. It would be a big fight on national TV. Bellator is really interested. So, I mean, that might have been his last local fight, perhaps. We don't know yet, but we'll see in the next few days.
Well, I'm going to just throw it out there. I know you're the man who makes his decisions, but I would like to see him personally go to either M1 Global or to EFC Africa. I believe both those places have tough talent for him with amazing exposure and solid paydays behind them. I would just like to see him get out of his comfort zone and travel the world and let him fight abroad. And you know, I think it would be good for him in multiple facets of his life between personal and fighting. And there's a couple of matchups, especially over in Russia, I would really like to see him go against. I could think of a few guys down at EFC Africa that I would like to see him matched up as well. But that's just me. You know, I'm really a big fan of the international scene. I'm a hardcore junkie for that stuff. And I always think of local guys and how they would match up, you know, with these international fighters I watch. And I think there's a couple of great fights out there for him overseas. That's just my opinion. I mean, you know what? And if he's listening, you know, Tarion, M1, let's go, buddy.
You know, we'll fight anyone anywhere. It doesn't matter where it's at. Africa, Russia, Compton, Frisco, Texas, we don't care. We'll fight anyone anywhere. He doesn't run or duck anyone. So, I mean, you know, we'd be open to fighting, you know, overseas. No problem at all.
Well, something I definitely like about your fighters and your team, they're tough guys and they're not scared to take tough fights. So that's great. This weekend, obviously, Bama went down just a few hours after that, and I'm going to send you a link today, and I'll post it up on Sunday Night Fights Live for everybody since we're going to talk about it. I saw probably one of the best cards that I've got to see in 6-8 months over at Rough China. We at MMA Madhouse have been working with them. They're the only legal MMA in mainland China. One license. They beat the UFC, Strikeforce, Dream, 1FC. They beat everybody for it. They got the license. And their 12th event that just went down, just all time. I mean, every fight seemed to get better. And then they were beautiful ground fights, great submissions, great knockouts. They did have Mazat, the ex-UFC fighter who went 0-2. They had him as the main event against Lu Jinhong, who was, I think, a 5 or 6 fight win streak, and this was kind of the number one contender fight, so it was a really good fight. Dude, but brother, and I'm telling everybody right now, Wang Gong, this kid is for real. This kid is now 13-1, and I was so impressed with this kid's hands, Ray. And he went against a Thai fighter who has a ridiculous Thai record and a good, good MMA record. And I interviewed both fighters not 2 hours before they got in the cage. And they both were like, oh, we're not going to the ground. We don't care about the ground. I'm going to prove I can knock this guy out. And sure enough, it was fireworks until Wang caught him. And it was good night, Irene. That guy was out cold. It was great fights. Like yourself, there were so many fights on the card that were amazing. This is why I like, you know, what we call regional mid-major MMA, whatever people out there want to call it, you can call it. You know, we call it regional MMA. You know, you have local regional shows, and then you have national shows and international shows, and then the big three. You know, I think as a product, Bama USA, you're going to get way more bang for your buck than you would for a pay-per-view of some sort. So I'm just a big fan. You obviously saw some amazing fights that night.
You know, I'm a big fan of the sport, too. And Friday night, I had to step back and be a fan again because, I mean, it's like, okay, I'm going to check in as a cornerman. And standing behind me in line is Eddie Bravo, the night before his big match. You know, I mean, it doesn't get any bigger than BJJ than Eddie Bravo. Then we're in the locker room, and we're sharing the same locker room with Patricio Verdum and
Alejandro. No. Who'd you say earlier?
It was, man, this is so wrong of me.
Did you say, I swear I thought you said Alejandro, but.
No, it was Verdum and, wow.
He's got stage fright, folks.
Yes, I do. I mean, I'm telling you, I was a big fan.
It was a boxer, correct?
No. It was MMA. Oh, wow.
I was just trying to kickstart your brain, but that didn't work so well.
No, it didn't. I just had a major brain fart. But then also, too, you know, you look across the cage from us, you got UFC fighter Cisco Rivera. You know, he's fighting on the main card in May. And it's like, you know, it's like, wow, you know, these guys are here. I'm a fan. And do I ask for an autograph or do I keep it professional? What do, you know? It was pretty crazy.
That's tough for us because, you know, we have to be professional with our businesses involved in MMA, but at the same time, we're both fans, brother. You know, the first time I met Matt Lindland, I was working an event covering sport fights, and he's like, you want to come have dinner, you know, and with me, my wife, and, you know, a couple of the guys from Team Quest, and I was like, yeah, you know, inside, I was like, oh, my God, yes, you know, but I was like, yeah, sure, that sounds cool.
Kippy, I just got a text message. And, yeah, it was Rafael Cordero. My bad. No disrespect, Rafael Cordero. I mean, you're an MMA legend. I'm sorry. I just had a brain fart. You know, it was a big weekend for me, and my brain's not operating at 100%. But, yeah, I mean, I was in awe being there with Cordero and Verdum. It's like, really? I mean, these guys are sitting next to me in the locker room? Wow.
Dude. That's the best thing because, you know, these guys that we do watch, a lot of them are training with guys who have made it, guys who have got names, legends, guys who have been there. That's why I'm excited for the next, you know, generation of fighters that right now are between 12 and 16. Can you imagine when those guys are between 22 and 28, 30, what kind of sport we're going to have? Oh, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, definitely. These kids that are at that age, it's definitely going to be amazing.
Well, it's about that time for us to get our first guest, Derek. Well, I'm going to jump in queue and grab him. Why don't you do a little jabbing?
Oh, yeah. You know, we got Derek Martinez coming up next. Big D in the house. Muay Thai fighter, MMA fighter. This guy is amazing. You know, he's doing it up for the big boys. You know, super heavyweight. This kid is, he's just amazing to watch fight. You know, I started off when he first came on the scene, it's like, oh, who's this dude? You know, whatever. And, oh, man, he impressed the hell out of me, and he's such a great guy. You know, you can't not like him. He's, you know, he's just amazing. You know, I'm happy that we have him on the show. And
well,
can't wait.
Hey, Ray.
Yeah.
Are you? Hey, well, let's welcome Mr. Derek Martinez to Sunday Night Fights live. You're on with Ray Lopez. How you doing tonight, brother?
I'm good, man. Thanks for asking. How you doing?
What's up, Big D?
What's going on, bro? How's it going?
It's going good. It's going good. Why don't you tell the fans a little bit about yourself, your MMA record, your Muay Thai record, where you train out of, you know, let them know who you are.
Well, my name's Derek Martinez. I was from Brooklyn, New York. I lived a little bit in Jersey where I started my boxing and Muay Thai adventures. Basically, I got into it as a kid. My uncle was a boxer in Puerto Rico. He got me into boxing just to keep me out of trouble, and I started doing that for a little bit. And then after that, I got into Muay Thai because the boxing gym where I was at in New York and Brooklyn, we had a boxing coach there that was from Laos, but he was also part Laos and Thai, and that's kind of how I got into Muay Thai. Because of him. And then pretty much after that, I just fought a lot of smokers, a couple of amateur shows. That's about it. Never really fought pro, even though I wanted to, but unfortunately because of a lot of the injuries and stuff, it put a damper on the fight career a little bit. But mostly what I've been doing now is just a lot of coaching and stuff out of Team Flores. And now we're in industry. We used to be in La Puente with Coach Alan Flores and Mark De La Cruz. Been out there with those guys for about 5 years, helping them coach. And MMA-wise, I dabble with a couple of people. I trained a little bit at CSW for a while over at Eric Paulson's in Fullerton. And Mihai Valero over at MMAFC in Whittier. Worked out with him for a little bit. But I taught out of a lot of small gyms here and there in the L.A. area. A lot of the gyms didn't really work out for me, but I stayed basically loyal to Team Flores. I've been with them for about 5 years. They've been real good to me, so that's pretty much where I've been at.
You know, you mentioned Mihai. Mihai's a great guy. I've had a chance to work with him a few times with a couple of my other guys. And, you know, what aspect did he bring to your game?
With Mihai, the reason why I stuck with him was because he's very good with the transitioning of the striking, the grappling. And he's also a CSW brother, man. So I that's why I stuck with him. He's very knowledgeable of the game, not just the business, but the overall game. He gets it, you know. There are a lot of trainers out there that are good with striking, and that's it. And there are a lot of trainers that are good with grappling. And that's pretty much it. Now, I also failed to mention I worked with Rolly Robles, who helped me out with strength and conditioning for a couple of fights, and also with Jerome Egan's out in you're going to kill me. I forgot the name of this gym. Ontario Mixed Martial Arts over at Ontario. I worked with him. I met him over at the Checkmat system when I was transitioning from Rodrigo Teixeira over to Checkmat when I was doing my jiu-jitsu, and unfortunately that didn't work out well over there too, because Rodrigo took, he took off and left the country, and he left the gym over to one of his black belts, and it just wasn't working out. So I hung out with Jerome for a little bit, and he's also really, really good on the ground as well.
You know, you mentioned Coach Rolly, Rolly Robles, Chingasso's MMA, you know, we're good friends with them. They've done a lot to support takedown and our fighters, and you know, his FATX program is great. You know,
yeah, it's great, man. I got on the bandwagon for a little bit, man, and taking pictures of my food. I kept the food log, and I messed up a few times, and I didn't bring my food log in. And yeah, he makes you pay for it, man. He's good in the bit. He's real good, man. A lot of fighters should work with him, especially with the nutrition and the and the strength and conditioning, because it all goes hand in hand. And I, you know, fortunately, it took me, you know, pretty much like 30 years to figure that out. But when I was younger, see, you take your body for granted, man. When you're younger, you can go head first to a brick wall, and then you're okay the next day, you know. And you can eat whatever junk food you want. You eat whatever junk food you want, and you know, and you're cool. But as you get older, the body doesn't process all the foods and everything else as well as it used to. So I told Rolly, I said, hey man, I think I'm gonna do a couple more fights, and I'm gonna hang in there with you and do some of the conditioning, and you just monitor whatever I eat. I wasn't 100% faithful with the foods he put out there. You know, I'm a human, man. I mean, I'm a fat boy, man. I love to eat. So I would say 80% of the time I ate clean, and I actually lost about 25 to 30 pounds training for the last camp working with him. It's mostly veggies and lean meats and, you know, protein shakes, a lot of water, you know, stayed off the sugary drinks and all that stuff. And it did make a difference, you know, going to practice, I didn't get injured as much, and you know, moving around became a lot easier because the nutrition, you eat good. The nutrition does help with the recovery of, you know, getting hit all the time and the conditioning.
Now, I know, speaking about, you know, like to eat, you know, we ask this of everybody, what's the hardest thing for you to give up during your training camp?
Before it was alcohol, because I love to drink beer, man. I love to drink beer, and then I went on this 14-month. I gave myself 6 months to stay sober because I did battle alcoholism for a while, and it was it affected a lot of things, not just the training and the coaching, and it affected family and everything else. So gave myself 6 months to stay clean, or I was just going to stay clean forever, and I lasted 14 months, man. Didn't touch an ounce of alcohol, and one day I forgot how it happened. I think. I wanted to tell the boys, you know, the boys over at Flores, that, you know, these guys are like my brothers. And I said, you know what, man, I'm tired of working the 9-to-5 and making money for other people. 37 years old. I always wanted to take off and go back to Thailand. I haven't been there for years. I haven't been in Thailand since 97. At the time, I was dating a Thai girl, and I was really close to her family. Matter of fact, my old coach, the Thai coach from the boxing gym I was at, I wound up dating his niece, and that's how close I became with him. And he took me out to Thailand, where I pretty much got my ass whooped out there. But you know what? I became so humble, man. I loved it. I love the art. I love the culture, and it was great. You know, going out there.
Derek, Skippy here.
Yeah.
Let me. You're talking about the Thai. Just recently, there were some gyms like Tiger Muay Thai, Team Quest Muay Thai, a few of those, a third one, that gave away scholarships to some U.S. fighters. How important do you think, as a beginning pro, it would be in your career to go over there for 6 months and learn their version of the striking game?
I say, why not, man? You know, there's a lot of gyms out there. I mean, when I was out there in the 90s, it was hard for Farang, what they call out there, foreign fighters. Like us, you know, we go to a foreign country, they're not going to really take to us. So I to me, it's kind of cool that a lot of Westerners moved out there and opened up gyms to help some of the guys out here to go train. I think it's great. But I personally would like to, you know, check out other gyms that deal with more traditional Muay Thai. The more Western Muay Thai gyms out there, mostly European-owned and some Canadians and a couple of Americans out there. And they focus not just on Muay Thai, but they do mixed martial arts and jiu-jitsu. And I know for a fact a buddy of mine out there right now, and he's telling me a couple of Brazilians are out there teaching Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Even my old coach, Rodrigo Teixeira, where I was doing jiu-jitsu at, was out there for a little while teaching. And Thailand has become so diverse, man. They love the other arts, and they became fans of the UFC and mixed martial arts. But unfortunately now, the ministry in Thailand, I think, I'm not 100% sure, I need to look into it, but I think they banned MMA out there.
Actually, there's one legal MMA organization licensed in the country and promoted through the tourist agency, and that's DARE.
Okay.
That's the only one in the whole country. Everything else is illegal, you're right, and they're throwing them on the islands and or at a bar, you know, nothing legit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's also illegal fights out there that goes on. I would avoid all tourist fighters to avoid those. Because if you're caught, they're throwing you in jail, and that's not a good look, especially if you're a foreigner.
Well, and they can always, if they want to fight, they can always shoot over to Cambodia. I mean, they got events televised that are legitimately sanctioned events every Friday night, you know. I mean, you can go over there and get your blood work done and fight as much as you want and get paid. I mean, not paid a lot or anything, but...
Yeah, I've heard about those. And they also have those over in the border of... over the western country over there, Myanmar or Burma.
Yep.
Some of my homeboys out there have told me that they've dabbled in it, but I don't know, man. It seems a little too crazy for me.
Yeah. No. You talked and mentioned a minute ago about the traditional Muay Thai gyms. Would you want to go over and learn more of the traditional, like Kun Kumar, like the original? You know, that was more focused
more,
on footwork.
More like Krabi Kaban and the Mai Muay Thai. Are styles that I am familiar with my old crew. That was basically it. And, you know, there's a lot of steps and systems to it. I personally, because I love the, like I was saying before, I love the culture, I love the history of Muay Thai, that I would personally prefer to train at a gym like that. I mean, there's MMA gyms everywhere. I wouldn't go to Thailand personally for a tourist gym or a gym that dabbles in a little bit of everything. I would focus more of a more traditional gym. And like I was saying earlier, back in the 90s, man, they didn't care for Westerners for us to train there because we had a history of bringing booze, drugs, and women to the camp. And you know, they don't play that, you know. They'll kick you out in a minute. So, me personally, that's why I would prefer to do is work out at a more traditional Muay Thai camp.
Cool. Okay. Hey, Derek, talk to us about your last fight at Sparstar with that big KO.
Actually, man, I just threw it, bro. I don't know what to say. I just threw it. It connected. He went down and... I was working with Mark and Mihai, and they was telling me, you know what, dude, don't even go to the ground. And, you know, I have a black belt in judo, and I train out there in Kyoto University for a little bit. And the judo we were doing out there was more than waza, which is the grappling, more of the groundwork. My style of judo is more for waza, which is the grappling part, the more traditional judo, not the sport judo like you see in the Olympics where it's mostly throwing.
Yeah.
So, and plus working with guys like Jerome and them and those guys from Checkmate and stuff and Ontario Mixed Martial Art, we did a lot of groundwork. And I was like, well, the guy I was fighting, he kind of has a background in wrestling. I figured, you know what, if we go to the ground, I'm going to make sure I don't stay on my back for too long because he's going to pretty much ground and pound and just kind of keep me there and wear me out. So they just said, you know what, D, just, you know, use your hands. Don't even kick. Just use your hands. Go to your boxing. Go back to your basic style, which was boxing. I said, all right, well, okay. And literally 10 minutes before the fight, all Mark kept saying was throw the left hand. And I literally did that for about 10 minutes. I just threw a left hand 100% about 20 times to the mitt. And then fight happened, and I just threw it, and it connected. He went down. That was it.
Yeah, you put him to sleep.
Yeah. Lion was a cool cat. Him and I were former training partners. Just a little, I wouldn't say bad blood. Kind of said something that wasn't cool. I don't try to let a lot of things bother me, but, you know, been doing this for a long time. Yeah, I know I'm not a pro fighter. I never fought pro. But I help out a lot of cats, and I do it because I enjoy doing it. I do it for the love, and I help out anybody I want to help, you know. But just to come out and just, you know, say some shit to me about being too fat and I don't have what it takes and all that. I mean, yeah, I try not to take it personal, especially to someone who hasn't been doing it very long. I'm like, you know what? Let's make it happen, you know. You tell me what I'm doing wrong, and then I'll respect you or whatever. But fortunately, it went my way that night, and you know.
Well, I mean, not just your way. You did it for all of us big boys.
Yeah, man. You know, being a super heavyweight is not is you know. I tell a lot of cats, man. You know, fight at your weight. Try to stay healthy. I mean, I'm gonna be 38 years old next month, and I can't move around like I used to. You know, that's why I want to focus more on coaching now. And advice I can give, man, take care of your body, man, because packing on weight and stuff like that is not easy on the body. It's really not moving around, and especially me. I had a full time job, man. I was working all kinds of crazy shifts, and I was getting up in the morning and then meeting up with Raleigh in the morning to do my conditioning, and going to 24, doing my own type of conditioning and following my diet, and then go work, you know, 10, 12 hours a day at the dog kennels over at Animal Control. And then after work, I'm either at Jerome's gym or at Flores or working with Mihai doing some striking or some kind of grappling or something. You know, it was putting a toll on me, getting like 4 hours of sleep. I did that for 3 months, you know, 6 days a week.
Wow.
Yeah, and on my days off, I put in double sessions, triple sessions sometimes, and in between, all I did was sleep, man.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I mean, you know, I wasn't training to compete, but you know, I was training, and then also in the managing, and then holding on a regular job. I mean, a dad, I was averaging like 2.5 hours of sleep a night. And, you know,
yeah, man, You're the man with many hats, man. That's why I respect you, bro. Like, you're one of the few cats that are in the business that does everything, man. You do the radio thing, cut man managing, father, man. You're an astronaut, fisherman, man. You do everything, you know.
That's why we announce Ray every week as the Intercontinental Champ of MMA Talk Radio. He's the man.
Yeah, he is, man.
Thank you, both of you guys.
Ray's a homie.
Thank you, bro. Definitely, but I mean, you know what? You're also an accomplished cut man too. You know, how'd you get into doing that?
You know, I got in the cut man business just like coaching by mistake. You know how it is sometimes in these amateur shows, you show up. Hey, what are you doing? You're in line about to buy a beer, and the commission's like, you know, because they know you as one of the trainers from the gym. What are you doing? I'm getting a beer. Hey, we got this guy as corner man in short. Oh shit. You know, you know, you run back there, you get your little bracelet, your orange bracelet or whatever, and next you know, you're like, okay, you know, you don't know the guy, but you do your best, you know. And I remember one show working with one guy, he got a cut so bad, and luckily at the time I was training at CSW, and I was fortunate enough to meet Stitch. And you guys, I mean, everybody knows who Stitch is.
Oh, yeah.
And Stitch kind of gave this little mini seminar. It was like a unofficial thing. He happened to be there one day, and Freddie George at the time was there as one of the coach. And Freddie said, hey, Stitch, why don't you just show the guys, like, you know, tell them what you do a little bit and show the guys what you do. And he basically gave us a little crash course on the cutman business and how it is, and showed us his way of wrapping hands, and then he showed us the cut medication he uses and all that stuff. And then getting back to that fight, I was cornering this guy. He took a real bad cut, and I didn't have any medicine or anything. I just basically used what he had in his bucket, an ice pack and some gauze. And luckily he had some Vaseline. I was able to patch it up, close it for him, and he still lost the fight, but still I was able to seal that cut up. And then, as you know, people said, hey, you know, you're pretty good at this. Why don't you keep doing it? And then I hooked up with this guy, Jake, up from out by the valley, and then he started hitting me up to do a couple of cutman gigs, and that's pretty much it. That's what I've been doing for the last couple of years, is doing some cutman gigs on my own. And I'm actually one of not only am I a trainer over at Team Flores, but I'm also the cutman there too, as well.
Nice. I've also seen you cutman for some other camps too, like Neto Padilla's camp out there at Ontario Mixed Martial Arts. And I mean, I've seen your work at IFS. Oh, great work out there.
Yeah, man, we got a couple of guys fighting out of IFS. Master Sean's always hitting us up for guys to fight, and that's my thing, man. I try to make sure not only that I try to not only help out as a trainer or coach, give my advice, but I always want to make sure my guys are not cut too bad, and you know, just make sure I give them, like Stitch used to say, you give them one more round, because you don't want the doctor to jump in and stop the fight because he has a little tiny cut on top of his eye. You know, I every role as a trainer or whatever it is important. A cut man's role is very important. I mean, There's some guys that could just throw a towel over their shoulder and say, yeah, I'm a cut man, but
yeah.
You really have to know what you're doing. You really have to know.
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, it was a pleasure having you on. You know, is there anybody that you want to shout out, any sponsors, any training partners, gyms, you know, friends, neighbors?
I
want
to give a shout out to Ray Lopez and Takedown for having me today. Terion, man, him too, man. He's like my bro, man. I'm so happy for him and you know, and the hard work he does too. And he doesn't notice, but he's an inspiration to me too, man. I watch his stuff on Instagram and Facebook, and the work he's been putting in, especially late at night. You see, I respect all fighters, but the fighters that are fathers and like you wear a lot of hats. Guys that go to the gym late at night after work, putting in 10, 12-hour shifts, you know, trying to be the husband and doing the conditioning. Sometimes you have to miss practice because you're stuck at work late, but, you know, no excuse. You still got to do something. You go to 24, have one of your friends come out there and meet you, hold pads for you. I know what it's like, man. I respect guys like him, one of your boys. And like
Thank
I said,
you.
Congratulations to him for winning last night. Or was it Friday? Sorry. But a shout-out to a lot of my teammates, a lot of guys I work with, Team Flores, Mark and Allen, Jerome, Mihai, Raleigh, and my girl Susie for being a good sport, even though I'm not the best boyfriend in the world, but I'm solely happy that she puts up with me putting in hours at the gym, helping the fighters and all that. That's it, man. And shout out to all my fighters over at Team Flores and all the fighters that I manage out there.
Nice, nice. I want to thank you, Derek. I want to thank you for all your kind words about me and my camp. And it was great to have you on, bro. See you at the next fight. I think I owe you a beer now after you got me last time. So,
I got you one because you're a brother, man. I figured, you know, I got to, you know, you out there working hard, man. Sometimes a hard-working man needs to sit down and have a beer, right?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Thank you. And, definitely. I mean, you deserve a beer for putting up with Ty Bethley. So, you know, I got you, bro.
All right, man. Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Talk to you soon.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hey, you got too many numbers in his phone number because you've got 3, 4, and 4. So I took off the last number. And some tweaker chick answered the phone, and I was like, is John there? She's like, what do you want John for? And I was like, we're trying to get an interview done with him on Sunday Night Fights Live. She's like, how do you know John? And I was like, is this John the fighter? Is this his wife or something? She's like, no, who are you? And I was like, okay, wrong number.
Okay, so we don't have him.
If you want to check the number, because in the number you sent me, there's one too many numbers, so I just don't know which number you want me to take out.
Okay, hold on. I'm sending you the number right now.
Okay, look at this. This is how we rock it. By the way, Derek was a great interview, man. I love that cat likes the old school traditional Muay Thai, man. That's great. I think as somebody, you know, I watch it every weekend. You know that I'm a huge fan.
John just texted me with his number as I'm sending it to you.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, you had one too many numbers in there, brother.
My bad.
Well, then let's just call him live on air. Since we're let's hope the tweaker chick don't answer again. I feel really bad because they'd be like, "That's my girlfriend." I'll be like, "Oh snap!"
What's going on, boys?
What's up, John Robles?
Thank God for technology, huh?
No doubt. Hey, welcome to Sunday Night Fights Live, brother.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So, you know, we got John Robles online, World Series of Fighting fighter. You got a fight coming up soon, April 12th for Lights Out Promotions. Tell us about yourself, your record, where you come from, what you do.
Oh, man, what I do, I'm a professional bully, as some might say, you know. I'm excited. April 12th, Chaos at the Casino at Hollywood Park Casino. That's a local event, man. I live down the street, so it's going to be great for me to have, you know, the hometown right behind me. And as far as just getting ready for the fight, I'm excited, man. It's a chance for me to redeem, you know, myself from my last fight. I didn't quite put out the performance that I wanted to, but that's the fight game. You know, you got to learn as you go, and Sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't, and, you know, you got to grow. So I'm not upset with the performance, but it's definitely something to grow from. So I'm excited 2 weeks away, and it's going to be a great night. I got a couple guys from my gym that I train at every day, Systems Training Center in Hawthorne, California, and then also Team Victory Muay Thai in Inglewood. There's a couple guys that I train with there that are all fighting on the card. So I'm expecting fireworks, man. All these guys that I train with, they're a bunch of monsters, so I'm excited for the night.
Where can we go to get tickets?
Where you can go to get tickets, you can hit me up on Facebook, and I'll make sure you get them for sure. Otherwise, you can check out the Lights Out Promotion website, and I'm sure they have some online. Just go ahead and type in, you know, John Robles, and they'll give me credit for it. But either way, you know, whether I get credit or not, just make sure you show up. It's going to be a great night. It's not going to be something you want to miss, you know.
Let's talk about Friday night. You had two of your teammates fighting. You helped train them. You helped get them where they were. Tell us about it.
Friday night, man, it was actually it was very inspiring, you know, getting to watch Melanie Lacroix just go out there and do her thing. You know, she hasn't fought in a while, and to get her to go out there and perform like she did, it was amazing to watch, you know. Probably one of the best girl fights I've seen in a long time, so I'm really happy for her and our team, and just in general, you know, it was great to see. I have to say, you know, I got to tip my hat to Terry on, you know, he had a lot going into his fight. I mean, it's a title fight, big promotion, and, you know, that's emotional enough. Then on top of that, you know, the tragedy of his grandmother, you know, and our condolences to him and his family and things like that. And him to go out there and perform like he did, it was just, like I said, inspiring, you know. No disrespect to any of the other fighters. You know, they fought really well, and it was a great show. You know, Chris Beal getting back on the win column, I'm stoked for him. But, you know, I definitely have to say that Terry on and Melanie, they stole the show. They definitely carried it and made it a huge night for Bama USA, which is also a good promotion. So, you know, for my team especially, it was very inspiring, and I'm stoked. I can't wait to fight in 2 weeks. It just kind of, you know, being there, that energy, not just from my teammates, but the venue itself, it was definitely something. You know, come Monday morning, I'm ready to rock and knock out these last 2 weeks of training camp.
Now, you're under contract with World Series of Fighting. You fought one back in August. Big fight against the UFC vet, Jared Papazian, former training partner. That was a fight that was great to watch. I have never seen two guys have so much fun fighting and bringing it and just giving the fans what they wanted.
You know, it's funny that you say we had fun, because I definitely had a lot of fun. It was a new experience for me, you know, fighting on that stage, also fighting a former teammate, and someone who I hadn't trained with in quite a while since I feel like I've grown, you know, so I feel like I might have surprised him, and, you know, I surprised some of the fans, but I definitely had a lot of fun, and I can't say that I didn't. You know, that's what we do. We're fighters, and you have to enjoy what you're doing. So I was excited that I had fun, but it took away from that killer instinct that I felt I've had in other fights. I'm not one to, you know, jaw back and forth with a fighter. I'm there for business, and, you know, it kind of took some of that edge off, and that edge is kind of what I think makes me very dangerous, is that feeling of, you know, a cornered lion, you know, where I feel like the jump off is, it's just, that's kind of what I thrive on, and that's kind of that feeling that gets me to where I'm at now, and finishing fights and having that killer instinct. So no disrespect to, you know, to Jared or anything like that. Like I said, I had a ton of fun, and it's an experience I'll never forget. You know, we hugged it out after, and we were joking around, and it was a great experience. But I look forward to getting into the ring with someone I don't know and having that killer instinct and just putting them away, whether it be first or third round. You know, like, I'm always looking for the finish, and I love to entertain the crowd and put on good fights. So I'm excited to get back in there and really have that killer instinct again. But, yeah, like I said, the World Series of Fighting, they're a great company. I am under contract with them, and they're, you know, blessing me with the opportunity to stay active and get another fight in the meantime. But, yeah, one thing at a time, and I don't look past anybody. And April 12th, I got a job to do, and I'm really excited to, you know, redeem myself and put this guy away.
You know, something on the lighter side. On Friday night, I found something out about you that I never knew. You're obsessed with belly buttons. What's up with that, bro?
Oh, my goodness. I'm just a big goofball, man. I like to mess around and keep things light. If you're ever in the gym in the training room with me, I'm always joking around, and my coaches say, you know, Sometimes it's, you know, just what I do, man. I joke around, but I don't even remember how we got onto it, but a buddy of mine, my old roommate, Jose, he, whenever he tries to make things awkward, he gives you this eye contact and he rubs his belly button, and I kind of just stole it from him. And it always seems to do the trick, man. It throws people off. They don't know how to deal with it, and it just kind of breaks the silence a little bit. But, yeah, you know, put some almond butter in the belly button, and I'll find it.
Well, yeah, I forgot the almond butter, too. There you go.
Yeah.
And well, I just saw that picture today of you jumping on my back, you know, after the big win. The look on my face is priceless. I'm like, man, look at this dude jumping on the cripple guy.
Well, yeah, I remember you saying that, you know, of all people I could have jumped on. But you seem to be sturdy, man, so give yourself some credit. You handled it well. But, I was so excited, man. Moments like that, I don't even try to contain what I'm feeling, man. Therion deserved it. Like I said, super proud of him, and I can only imagine how proud of him you are. So, you know, we're a big family, and thanks for carrying me, big guy. I want to see the picture now.
Yeah, oh, it's on Facebook, bro. But yeah,
all right, I'll find it.
Definitely was a win for all of us. I mean, not just him.
Yeah.
We all put in on that win, you know, everybody on the team. So I mean, it was great for us all of you to feel those emotions.
Yeah. The funny thing about that is, when I was jumping up on you, I was actually trying to like use you as a crutch and then have my feet on the cage, but my slippers, they just kept like sliding down the cage. That's why I tried jumping so many times. I just couldn't find my footing. So I'm glad you kept us safe, man.
Definitely.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
You were just talking about your last fight with Jared. Between Jared and the Caleb fight, which fight do you think you learned more about yourself as a fighter?
Huh. You know, I can't take away either one. You know, the Caleb fight, coming into it, I had a lot of momentum. I was 5-0. I really thought, you know, hey, this is a big fight for me, and I thought it was going to catapult me to, you know, the next level and really put my name out there, which it did. You know, every fight does, especially because I'm a fighter and I fight hard, you know. That's one of the things that I guess I could take away, or I mean, I could say for myself, is that I love to be in there in that moment. It's I give my all. I learned that, you know, maybe I wasn't quite ready to take that next level jump, and you know, I definitely had to work on my wrestling. And you know, while you prepare, you got to make sure that your mindset is ready. And I had some things going into that fight. It doesn't really matter, no excuses. But I could have been a little bit more prepared. And you know, that's part of the game. You learn as you go. And so I would never take anything away from that. I learned a lot from that fight. I hated being the main event fighting at 11:00. That sucked. But, you know, that had nothing to do with the result. The result was, you know, I fought a guy who, he had a game plan and he executed it. So, you know, hats off to him. As far as the Jared fight, I learned a lot with that fight as well, man. I learned that I do belong at that level, not that I didn't feel it. But, you know, training in the gym, you know, I'm very fortunate to have been blessed with the opportunity to go train at Greg Jackson's, and they've accepted me as family, and all the guys over there, I have to say thank you to them. And being in that room and in the room with the talent I get to train here is blossoming as well. And I get to train with some of the best guys in the world, and I know that I belong because they're not mopping the floors with me. But at the same time, when you're in the fight, it's a different story. What happens in the gym is the gym. What happens in between the bell, that's what really matters, you know. You can lose all your fights in the gym, but the one that matters is that's in between the bells. So when I fought Jared, I learned a lot about myself. You know, I belong at that level. I have a lot of work to do. We always do. That's part of the game. But I felt that I believe it now, and it's definitely changed my mindset and my work ethic. And you know, I just you learn a lot from every fight, even the wins and the losses. But the losses seem to kind of stick with you and kind of ignite a different kind of fire. You know, so I wouldn't take away from either one. But I definitely learned a lot from those two fights, you know. They're my two losses.
You mentioned Jackson's. Did you get a chance to spar with Kevin Kroom at all? Because I know he's in your weight class, and he's a great talent over there.
I have. I've gotten to work with him quite a bit. In this game at this point, you know, like, you're going to come across people that you may fight one day. I believe it or not, I actually didn't. I completely forgot he's in my weight class because he's so tall. But yeah, he's he's definitely a talented guy. And when I'm there, you know, we get some work and we get you know, exchanges. I try not to focus too much on what happens in the training room because, I'm a gamer. Come game day, you're going to get a different guy you saw in the gym. So if you're facing, and not saying he is, you know, because he's my friend, you know. I keep up with him on Facebook. I support him. I'm sure he supports me. Maybe he doesn't.
Is because he is right now, obviously, you know, picked up the world title in Kazakhstan 2 months ago, then turned around.
Really?
Yeah, and now he's fighting Anthony Burshak, it looks like, in May for the world title up there at Maximum Fighting Championship. So for me, you know, I was wondering how, yeah, well, you know, if you're training with him, obviously, you know, you guys, it's got to be a nice, you know, with the old iron sharpens iron thing. That's why I was asking if you've gotten to work with him at all. Not for the fact that you might fight him someday, for the fact that I know what kind of talent he is, and I'm learning, like a lot of fans tonight around the world, we're just learning about you. I'll be honest, you know, that's what Ray's here for. I mean, I'm more of an international fan than Southern California, but that's why this show's on our network, is to expose you guys to everybody around the world. So, you know, Kevin Kroom's kind of a known name. That's why I brought him up, so people can kind of see, you know, some of the people you're training with in your weight class that are legitimate contenders out there.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, congrats to Kevin. That's awesome. I'm going to send him a message. I hope I don't have to fight him. I like the guy, you know. I'd like to not have to go through that experience ever again. But realistically, I mean, it is the fight game, and, you know, sometimes you don't make those decisions. But back to what you were saying as far as him as a talent, he's awesome, man. He's good grappling. Actually, great grappling, striking, wrestling. And I believe he's a southpaw, too, which always makes, you know, most guys are orthodox, so that makes him, you know, even more tricky. But as far as a talent, yeah, he's got it for sure. I was actually introduced to him by Clay, and Clay speaks real highly of him, and that's why when I'm there, he tries to make sure I get as much work with him as I can. That room in general at Greg Jackson's, there's guys that I'm sure you may never hear about only because, you know, life takes people's journey in different courses, but that room from their amateurs to their pros is filled with guys that are just full of talent, kind of just like, you know, that's why I love the team I'm on now at Systems Training Center. I mean, the talent from our amateurs to our top pros is really blossoming, man, and it's cool to be able to train in rooms like that, you know?
Well, and, you know, with that being said, you know, this new group that you're around getting to work with and getting to help develop, is there anything you found that instantly you were drawn to in the way of a coaching style or a fight style that was different at this camp than other gyms that you've been at?
You know, you probably hear it a lot as far as, you know, when gyms say, hey, come train with us, you know, we're a big family, we're like brothers. That's a big part of it. What brought me to the gym was, I have to say, my coach Ian Harris, you know. I've been with him for a couple of years now, and when he made the move to Systems Training Center, there's no doubt about it, I was in his pocket, man. Like, you know, I was with him 100%, and when we got there, you know, they kind of did have a stable of guys that were fighting, and you never know what you're going to get when you walk in a room like that. You know, you bring some guys, and there's some guys already there, and the energy right off the bat, man, it was 100% all love, and the things that we've created now between, you know, when we got there and now, it's awesome. It's definitely a great room to be in. The positivity, the hard work, it's really good. So, you know, the coaching style, of course, my coach Ian Harris, he's a scientist, man. Like, you know, he's very smart, and I learned a lot from him inside the ring and outside the ring. But, I definitely just, you know, the hard work that goes down on that mat, and everybody, you know, they punch each other in the face, they high-five it after, and then, you know, we got kids and dogs running around the mat. Like, it's just a big, big family affair. It's awesome.
Yeah, Skip, you got to see this gym. You walk in, there's about two or three dogs running around, and there's baby
kids
and playpens everywhere. You know, it's just crazy. You know, one time we went there to go train a while back, about a year ago, took my brother and sister-in-law, and my sister-in-law said, why is there a playpen here? Why is there a swing here? Like, it's a family here. Everybody comes and trains, even the little ones.
Yeah. You know, and kind of, you know, kind of how you were saying as far as Jackson's and things like that, and what I love, you know, about my gym here at home is that, you know, it's very much a reflection of, you know, what I love about Greg Jackson. It's a huge family. Same thing, there's, you know, they've got kids and they got dogs and all those guys are friends and they genuinely are, you know, hanging out after practice. They care about each other and they work hard and they're there to make each other better. And, you know, thank God to my big brother, Clay Guida, for bringing me out there and exposing me to that. And I think, you know, me kind of, you know, really trying to take a leadership role at my gym here, I feel like it's kind of a reflection of what I've seen out there and what I know works and what, you know, what I want from my team here. You know, like I like to tell my guys all the time, you know, we're a team of captains. You know, when coach isn't there, when I'm not there, we should all be able to step up and run things because we all have so much to offer. But like I said, you know, since I have kind of maybe taken a leadership role with the team, I know what I want from the guys and I know what we need in the room. And it's funny because, you know, no one ever says, hey, guys can't come to the gym. If they don't belong, they kind of separate themselves, you know. We have such a good group, and people seem to really like coming and train with us. And everyone else that doesn't, you know, they find their own way. And some gyms are for some people, and, you know, they just kind of find their own path. So I'm just real happy with what we got going on, thanks, you know, to our coaches, our teammates, and, you know, especially Marcus Koval. He's really turned the gym around, man. He's done a lot of cool things with it. So big thanks to him, too, as well.
Oh, okay, John. Training camp, what's the hardest thing for you to go without?
The hardest thing to go without during training camp? I guess just the freedom to eat whatever I want, you know. Before I started fighting, you know, I was big on traveling the world and surfing and skating and hanging out with my friends. And, you know, I got that Mexican belly. You know, it's not – I don't have a six-pack. I got that one big ab. So I guess food, but I've really learned now to kind of make it more of my lifestyle, and since I've really been trying to do that, I've found a lot of really good ways to eat good food and really enjoy it like I do anything else. I've kind of fallen off the loving In-N-Out. You know, I used to go to In-N-Out every fight. After every fight, people would bring me In-N-Out after every fight, and I'd sometimes have two or three double-doubles sitting there, and I'd give them away to people. But now I've just kind of made it more my lifestyle and really tried to find things that are healthy but also, you know, very indulging. Anybody ever heard of a Quest Bar? Hashtag
yeah.
Quest Bar.
Okay, now the question all the ladies are asking, you're young, you're single. I don't know if you're single. That's what I'm getting at. You're young, you're a pro athlete. Are you single or are you taken?
I just recently connected with Fight of the Night, Melanie Lacroix. She's my girlfriend.
Okay.
Thank you for asking.
With that said, who wins in a fight, you or her?
We don't fight.
Okay.
Who hits harder? How about this? Who hits harder? I think she hits harder.
There it is right there. All right, John. You know what? It was a pleasure having you on. You know, we'll definitely have you on again after your fight, you know. Wish you all the luck in your fight. Is there anybody you want to go ahead and shout out, you know, any of your training partners, sponsors, family members, anybody? Here's your time.
You know what? I definitely have to say a big thank you to Ian Harris and Rob McIver, both my coaches. They've taken me under their wing and really blessed me with, you know, a lot of skill, like I said, inside and outside the ring. Everyone at Systems Training Center, everyone at Team Victory Muay Thai and Team Jackson. I really have to say thank you to Mama D. Jones out in Albuquerque. She's a great woman, man. When I'm out there, she makes sure I have everything I need, strength and conditioning, food, you know, just the right mentality of believing in myself. And all my sponsors, you know, Mentum Eyewear, Maddox Clothing, DVS Shoes, my manager at Iridium Sports, Jason House, you know, everybody there. Especially, you know what, I have to say thank you to Vince Cachero, Flying Triangle Productions. He made me look like such an animal with some of these videos he's put out for, you know, his production company. He's really highlighted some of my talents, and I have to say thank you to him. And just everyone involved, man, you guys over here, you know, for letting me do this interview, and just everyone who supports me and sends the positivity my way. Without you guys, you know, this would be a lonely road. So I just have to say thank you to everybody. I appreciate it.
Definitely. Thank you for coming on. You know, I'm not going to tell you good luck because you don't need luck. Just handle your business on April 12th and come out with that W.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, bro. Thanks for coming on.
No problem.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Good kid, man. Exciting. So
he's great guy. Great guy. You know, he's the captain of our team. You know, he's not a takedown fighter, but he's a system fighter, and he's definitely the captain of the team. Corners everybody, gives them his knowledge. Great guy.
Definitely looking to see how he performs coming up here real shortly. But we've got somebody ready for you. Why don't you bring him on?
We have Nick, the mercenary, on the line. How you doing, Nick?
How's it going, guys? How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little about yourself, your record, where you train, what you got coming up. Let the fans know who you are.
Well, my name is Nick McGottom. They call me the mercenary. I'm a light heavyweight, a 205 fighter. My record's 6-5-1. I don't have anything booked right now. I'm coming off a loss in Bellator, and looking for some local promoters that want to make some money on a good fight here. I want to rematch Demon Morris. I know all the promoters hear me out there. This fight is going to make some money. Everybody wants to see this fight. Everybody keeps on asking me to see this rematch, and one of these promoters in L.A. has got to make this happen.
Definitely. You know, I was cornering Demon in the last fight, and, I mean, you guys just stood there and beat the crap at each other. And,
yeah.
This fight, this part two, can be a main event anywhere. So, you know, we definitely need some promoters to step up. I know it's been mentioned to Bellator, you know, so they're mulling it over. Any promoter out there, you know, even if it's not in Cali, we'll go fight this fight in Oklahoma. You know,
yeah, seriously.
Somebody step up and do it. This fight needs to be made. You know, but let's get away from
that. I was
thinking
RFA is in L.A., you know, and I know Ed Torres is listening right now. I know you hear me, Ed. Put this fight on, buddy. Let's do it. Come on. Do it at the Shrine.
That would be great, you know, right there in everybody's backyard. But, you know, getting away from that right now for a minute, you know, where are you training at? You know, what are you doing to stay in shape right now?
I'm at Rain Training Center in Lake Forest, and I'm there about 3 or 4 days a week in the morning, and I do a lot of wrestling there with Mark Munoz's team, and with all the pros there in the morning. We got Satoshi Ishii. We got some pretty big guys there that are pretty decent. And then I own Gracie Baja Academy in Anaheim, so I'm there every single night. I'm there like 4 or 5 hours a night, so I'm on the mat constantly, and I'm involved in the sport every single day, so my skills have got nothing but better since last time I fought Demon, so I can't wait to fight this guy again.
You know, with that said, you know, out of all the fights that you've had, which one was a fight that you learned the most about yourself?
That's a good question. Two fights ago, I was supposed to fight Demon at Citizens Bank Arena, and he had a little issue at the weigh-in, and it wasn't a big deal, but he wasn't able to fight, and I already had cut down to 205, and I had a lot of fans. I sold a lot of tickets to that fight, so I told the promoter, I said, hey, you got to give me somebody to fight, and they had this big old guy that was about 265, Jason Glaza, and I said, fuck it, I'll fight him, I don't care, let's do it. I learned a lot about myself that fight, because I fought a guy that I knew nothing about. Absolutely nothing. Saw no film whatsoever, and ended up fighting three round war with him. You know, and I only weighed 209. I was so like, I learned some stuff that fight. what my strengths are, what I could use when I'm in trouble. You know, so.
So you fight at 205. So what's your walking around weight?
230, 225.
You know, and like we ask every fighter, what is the hardest thing for you to give up during training camp?
During training camp, man, I'd say like just sugar and caffeine. Sugar and caffeine. I give up those two. Sugar, caffeine, cut those out. I'm ready to fight.
Now you know why I'm not a fighter, because I can't cut it out. But I could be a good sumo wrestler, I tell you what. Those guys got it made, dude. They get a 10,000 like calorie intake and two naps a day. I mean, that's, to me, that's the kind of fight life I got to live.
Yeah, I do. I take a good 2 or 3 hour nap every day after practice.
Now,
nice.
You know, we were talking a little bit, you know, about you. Like Ray mentioned, you know, the fans around the world are just getting to learn a little bit about you. I'm curious, you know, you've had some good runs and some bad runs. You know, obviously you're learning. Some of the competition you faced has been some great competition. When, like right now, you just said that, you know, you had your last fight was Virgil was a loss. How does that mentally affect you, or does it, what does that do to your game mentally?
Well, obviously, after you lose a few fights in a row, any fighter is going to be down, you know. You're going to be in a rut, and that's where you show you're a true fighter, is like, you know, digging yourself out of that and coming back and putting the streak together, you know what I mean? It's a pretty big deal, you know, when you lose. It's not cool at all. It's very, like, depressing when you lose fights. But Virgil's Wicker, though, you know, I look at it more and more now, and he's number 15 in the world at 205. He's a good fighter. You know, he hurt me early in the fight. That would be a fight I would want to rematch down the line a little bit, but I want to get a couple more wins under my belt, kick DeMond's ass, and then worry about Virgil later.
Well, you know, we have a lot of amateur fighters who listen to this show, and For somebody who's experienced it, and you know, like you said, you're now trying to turn it around, get on another win streak like you've had in the past. For these amateurs listening, what did you do to help get over that mental hump?
You know what? Just get back to training and get you know. I see a lot of guys, they lose fights and they quit. I see them quit fighting. They'll quit completely. I know one of my buddies, he's a heavyweight. He was 5-0. He lost to Manny Lara, and he never fought ever again. You know, like, you can't do that. Obviously, you got to be a big critic of yourself, but you got to get right back in there.
So, you know, right now, the hype is you and DeMond, number two. What's so appealing to you about this fight?
What's appealing to me about it?
Yes.
We talked a lot of shit after the fight. I don't know. I was on top of him in the third round, punching him in the face. And I remember after the fight, they interviewed him, and they said, "Hey, what was Nick saying to you?" And he told the guy that interviewed him, he said, oh, I'm tired. I want to quit. Let's stop the fight. He was talking mad shit. And I beat his ass the whole fight, I thought. Just got tired in the third round, but I didn't say that. So, I mean, I'm pretty pissed at DeMond. There was a lot of shit talk going on. Like last year, he was taking some hydroxy cut, and he couldn't make it to the fight last year. I'm pissed off at him, man. I want to kick his ass.
Well,
you know, he keeps on running his mouth.
I mean, this is definitely a fight that needs to be made.
Yeah.
We're hoping that some promoter hears it, and we'll get it done. And so how long ago was it that the fight took place?
We fought August 20th, 2011. The fight took place. August 20th, 2011. That was the fight at Bama.
Hey, sorry, we're having a little bit of issues on our side. Sorry, Ray's pausing up a little bit. We're trying to fix that right now. You know, you just mentioned that you felt that you had taken the fight to him. For everybody out there who might not know, this fight ended in a draw, correct?
Yeah, but you know what? I knocked him out in the second round. I shot a double leg on him. He sprawled. We got up. I kneed him right in the chest, and he bent down and grabbed his nuts like I kicked him in the nuts. Larry Landless. He had his back to Larry Landless, so Larry, the referee, didn't see that. It's on YouTube. Anybody can go out there and watch YouTube. I knocked DeMond out in the second round. he bends down and grabs his nuts. Like I did a low blow. I clearly hit him in the chest. So
now, it's funny. We just recently, last night, a fighter we sponsor, the referee during the fight, the kid had taken a vicious knee in the clinch to the liver and dropped. Well, the kid grabbed his, you know, his crotch and was like, oh, low blow. So the ref started to give the kid 5 minutes, and then some of the judgings and people were, you know, like screaming, look at the video. And in the replay, you could see the kid just took a nasty, nasty liver shot. So the ref had to go over and be like, you know, you got to stand up and fight right now, you know.
Oh, yeah, you guys, everybody, you can go to YouTube and watch. Look my name, Nick Magado versus Demon Morris. Look at the second round. Watch the second round. You can see. I knock him out. Demon's a good – he's a good fake. He's a good liar.
Well, you know, does that eat at you more than maybe the loss against Virgil?
Oh, yeah. That Demon Morris fight is a fight that I want more than anything. That bugs me more than anything because it was a tie. There's got to be a winner and a loser, man.
Right?
A loser. Who ties in MMA? I barely ever hear of draws. Rare, very rare.
You know, well, you know.
This has got to end. Somebody's got to end this.
Well, you know, I'm telling you, we have promoters around the country and world that listen to this. And, hey, look, maybe one of you Pac Northwest promotions over here in Oregon is throwing these pro shows coming up. Maybe you guys should put this fight on, or somebody maybe like Rogue Fights in NorCal, or, you know, I mean, there's a lot of places, obviously, throughout Southern California. There's a lot of great leagues. You know, I think if you're this passionate and, you know, Demon's this passionate and it's time, you know, why not get back in there and settle it? I mean, for a fan, and I'll put aside my media hat and I'll put on my fan hat and say, who doesn't love a draw rematch?
Yeah, and like, you know what, too? Demon fought Ricardo Feliciano right in the fight after me, and he beat him. Ricardo is a really good black belt. He's Dan Henderson's jiu-jitsu coach. I fought Ricardo 3 or 4 fights ago, and I lost a split decision to Ricardo. And Ricardo broke my arm in the first round. So, I mean, this fight had a lot of significance. He beat a guy that I lost to that broke my arm. A good black belt, by the way. He destroyed him. Demon destroyed him. And
guess what?
I think I'm the only one that knows how to fight Demon.
Well, we got Demon online. Let's see what he has to say about that.
Well, Demon runs like a cheetah. Yeah. I'll tell you that right now.
What? Hello?
What's up, Demon? We got you on the line with Friday. I'm sorry. Sunday Night Live. I forgot the name of my own show. And we got Nick the Mercenary on the line. You've been listening.
Yeah.
What do you got to say about this possible rematch that we need to get it signed?
Man, let me just tell you this. Nick, you sound like shit. You look like shit. I'm not worried about you. But you know what I'm saying? You know, you can say whatever you want. We can fight anytime. I'm already ready for you. You know, last time, whatever happened, that's it. But nice to see you again, hear you again. You don't know how to fight me. You can talk all you want. That's all you are is talk. It's okay, man. It's cool. We can do this anytime you want.
All right.
Anytime you want.
Are you going to pass your physical this time?
Yeah, sure. No worries.
No worries, okay.
Whatever happens, you can bring up whatever you want, man, because that's all you do best. Your mouth is bigger than your style. You talk more shit than what you can do. You know, so it doesn't matter to me what you say, because we'll be able to prove it in the ring. No worries.
Hey, man, the film doesn't lie. I knocked you out the second round last fight.
You can say what you want. The film can say what you want. It's cool. I can admit certain things. Hey, man. Hey, I went to a different training camp. So what? My problem. My bad. But if you check out any of my fights before and after, I beat a dude that you couldn't even beat, that broke your arm. I beat him with no problem, made him retire, which I'm about to do to you. So it's no problem.
Hey, Demon.
I'm sitting here. I'm sitting here eating dinner with my family and kids and stuff like that. When they see you, they laugh at you. They don't care about you at all. So I don't. My son says, whoop your ass. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play with you, dude, like I play with my kids. It's going to be great. Then after that, I'm going to have some dinner.
We'll see about that, buddy.
Whatever. We'll see about whatever you say. I was listening to you for a couple of seconds. I actually wanted to puke because I was like, damn, Nick, oh, my God. Why is this guy right here? Why is he still fighting? He needs to quit. I was like, oh, shit, he needs to train. Whatever, dude. You got your ass kicked by a dude that wasn't even on the same caliber as me, period. And he beat the crap out of you. Too bad I didn't get to fight you. So what? So what? You know, so, hey, just be ready, man. When do you want to fight? You want to fight, like, right now? Even though we can't. We can meet somewhere. But, you know, we got to do it legal. So, you know what? Just get your manager. You can get my manager. You guys can talk. We can make some money while you're doing that big mouth, you know, and then we can get down.
You know, definitely. That's something that yeah, you know, we don't want to take to the street. We want this in the cage. We want both you guys to make some good money off of this.
Of course.
This fight is going to be epic. So any promoters out there that want to sign this, like I said, you know, we threw it at Bellator. They're mulling it around. But anybody else want to step to the plate before they do, definitely get a hold of somebody here. And we will make this happen. This fight needs to happen.
Yes.
I need to get
Nick out of my face.
I mean, we would love
to. Well, yeah, I'm going to retire you, buddy. You're going to retire after you fight me, after you lose.
Hey, say that joke again. You should be a comedian, dog. What'd you say? You said you're going to retire me?
I'm going to retire you.
And you can't even get your own words out of your mouth. Why'd you have to use mine? You bite my style, dog. You can never do that. Look, man. This kung fu karate right here is just going to, it's got you. Don't worry about it, man. Don't sweat it. Just make sure when you jump into the ring, just bow down. It's all good, man. It's going to be fun.
Hey, Damon, you're slow, buddy. Right. You're slow.
I'm slow? Okay, that's cool.
You're
you
slow.
Can say that. I'm not going to say anything. It's cool, dude. You say whatever you want. We'll show it in the ring. We'll see how slow Mr. Morris is. Again,
now, would you guys be able
to... What?
Hey.
Uh-huh? Yeah.
Would you guys, I don't even need to take you down. I'm going to stand up with you this fight. It's going to be over
okay.
The first round.
That's cool. You can do whatever you want. I'm going to do me. Hey, it works. So I'm not worried. Like I said, man, I beat your Feliciano like he was nothing. I made him look stupid, dude. Come on, man. What? You could barely hang with that dude. He broke your arm. He couldn't even touch me. You're not going to be able to, dude. Come on.
Damon, last time we were supposed to fight in May.
Last time what? What happened?
Your
so
blood
what?
Pressure, medicine your heart rate was so high because you were so scared of me, man.
Really scared? Oh, my God, dude. Hey, scared is a good thing, dog. I'm scared of everyone. That's why I fight so good. I'm not
so scared you can't even pass your physical before the fight.
Fear is a good thing. Oh, so what? I didn't pass my physical. So what? Is that all you got to say? Say some more stuff, dude. Bring some more stuff that'll just do nothing to me. Nothing. Talk is cheap. Ring time. Fist to face. Foot to face. We'll put it there. Win, lose. The only thing that's going to be happening is me walking
so
out
Damon,
of the
ring. Since we fight, how many fights have you had?
How many fights have I had?
You have
one fight. How many fights have you had?
One
it doesn't
fight.
Matter. Because before I turn pro, I've already had hundreds of fights before that. I take my time when I fight while I'm pro. I don't fight anybody. I just don't fight at any time. I don't mess up nothing. I train hard. I think hard. I make sure I have the right coaches. I make sure I do the right thing. Just because I don't fight
back
to back.
Oh, my God, you're so full of shit.
It doesn't mean anything. You can say whatever you want, my friend. It doesn't matter.
You're like 39 years old, bro. You're older than Derek.
30 who? 30 who?
You're like 39 years old, bro. You're like
what?
Older than Derek. How old are you?
39? Obviously, you got my age wrong, Buster. Thank you very much. Your mathematics is off.
So
no,
you fight once every 3 years, and you think you're good?
Better than you. Better than you. I take my
time. You fight
time,
once every 3 years, and you call yourself a fighter?
Better than you. More of a fighter than you. My amateur career, I've had more fights than you.
You're good at talking.
Good at talking? Okay, I'm good at talking. I'm good at walking. I'm good at fucking. I'm good at fighting. All of it.
You're ugly as fuck.
Thanks. I know I'm ugly.
Smell.
I still get more women than you.
Fucking
sure. But I'm not tripping. It's all good about being ugly. I'm not worried about looks, man. I'm not worried about being pretty. Only thing I think about is whooping your ass. And that's it. I don't even dream about it, dog. I don't do nothing. I just play around, dude. Come on, dude.
39 years old.
You're an idiot. 39.
Last fight, you come in 15 pounds underweight. 15 pounds
Ooh.
Underweight.
What are you talking about?
And punches acne all over your face.
205. You came in overweight, dude. You were fat. I came in perfect, dog. What are you talking about? I was 201. What are you talking about?
Hey, where do you train at, Damon?
In your mom's
Who do you train with? Where do you train?
Where do I train at?
Nobody.
Don't worry about where I train at, buddy.
Nobody. You train with
Don't
nobody.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I train with no one. Okay, that's what you think. I shall not speak of the people I train with, so they are none of your business, and all of them are champions. Thank you very much. It wouldn't matter who you train with. You still suck. You could train with Jesus, and you're still going to suck. Shit, man. You can come train with me, and you're still going to suck. It doesn't even matter. I won't even speak of the people that I train with, man.
You train with your kids at the park.
And my kids are better than you. My kids are better than you, actually. Actually, teaching my children teach me how to do other things, how to be a better person. Thank you very much. How to be a better fighter. But more than what I can say
to you. Jamal, let's talk about this. How many physicals have you failed? How many fights? How many fights have you failed?
I've only failed one. Thank you very much.
Oh, I want chaos in the cage.
What are you talking about? Never fought in chaos in the cage. What are you talking about? What are you talking about, dude? You're an idiot. You don't know anything. You're an idiot. You talk about stuff you don't even know. Ha ha ha, you're funny.
I really hope you make it to the fight. If the fight gets booked, I hope you make it to it.
Dude, that's all you can say. It's so funny, Nick. You have nothing else to say. Nothing. Too bad. Oh. I feel sorry for you, dude. Sorry for you, man. I feel sorry for you.
Oh, I do a lot more than just fight every three years.
Didn't one of your trainers say he wasn't even going to train you? What was that, Mark Munoz or something like that? Because you don't train hard. You don't put effort into it. Now just be quiet, man. Stop talking. Why don't you work hard, dude? You won't be able to stand up with me. Whatever, dog. Let's just see what happens. I'm not even going to talk about what's going to happen, except the whooping of your ass. So it doesn't matter. That's it. What else do you have to say, Nick? Do you have to speak more? What is that? Keep going? Talk? Nothing. Thank you. Next?
Well, I obviously... You know, we could see how you guys both feel about this. And I know you said you were chilling with your family, eating dinner and stuff. And for us, I can't thank you enough for calling in because the fans are eating this up. The fans want to see this fight even more now with you two guys hyping this up back and forth. Damon, I know that you weren't, you know, scheduled to hang out with us for the show. So if you want to go and finish eating dinner with your family, I really appreciate your time, brother.
It's up to you, man. If you want me to keep on, I can. If you want me to get off, I can. It doesn't matter. My kids are loving it.
Oh, well, I just didn't want to be rude. You know, obviously you called in to defend your stance on this.
My kids don't even like Nick. They think he looks like the Loch Ness Monster, so it doesn't even matter. They want me to get rid of him, so hey. it's great. I'm happy.
I think we need to keep this going because you know what? The promoters need to see that this fight needs to happen. Brett Roberts, where are you at? King of the Cage, where are you at? Bellator, Bjorn Rebney, I know you're listening. Give us a call. You know what? We'll even take this to another state. Cali Cage Wars, where are you at? Somebody, you need a book.
This will be an easy W on my record, Damon. This will be an easy W.
Easy
win. Easy win.
You're an easy winner. What did you say?
hey, guys, real quick, we got a fan.
Brett Roberts won't book DeMond because he knows DeMond's an idiot. So hopefully,
Brett Roberts is scared of me, dog. Hey, Brett Roberts is fucking scared of me, dude.
But they don't know who you are because you fight once every fucking 3 years, man.
Hey, Nick.
Say what you want, dude.
Hey, we got a fan. We got a fan who wants to call in and talk to you guys. Let me bring him on. Mike, you're live with Nick and DeMond. On Sunday Night Fights Live, how you doing?
Oh, man. I'm doing pretty good. Just enjoying the talk. It's pretty entertaining. But I just want to say, I respect, you know, both of you guys, what you do and everything. But I just want to say I did look at the fight. I did what Nick said. He said to YouTube it. And it clearly was a knee to the chest. And the dude grabbed his nuts after that. So I'm just...
Thank you.
I'm just trying to defend. Not really trying to defend, but I'm just saying, like, you know, there's a lot of talk.
Whose balls are you sucking, Nick? What?
No. I'm talking about your chest.
It's on the video.
Yeah, it is. That's what I want to say. Just so people don't know you're not making that up. I thought it was clearly a chest shot.
You clearly see it. I pushed the pace. You ran like a cheetah for three rounds, bro.
Hey, look.
You ran for three rounds.
So what? I can admit something. That's only one thing. Like I said,
ran like
I had training camp, bad training for myself, so boo-hoo, Mr. DeMar.
Come on, you have a vagina.
What you say? What you say about your mom? Who? What?
I didn't have a vagina.
I do. I get more vagina than you do. Thank you very much. Matter of fact, I have a vagina at the table that I'm eating right now while I'm talking to you. Scared.
Yeah.
But anyways, Mr.
DeMar,
what you call it? Your jokes are lame. Your style is lame. The only thing you can say is like some small shit that I don't even care about or anything. But the one thing that's going to happen, dude, don't worry about it. I just want you to make sure that you train. Okay? Just make sure that you train. Train with whoever you want. You can come train with me if you want to. It'll be fun. You can watch
the old fight
all you want, because it wasn't even a fight, and it was my mistake for not fucking putting you out and doing what I needed to do. So that was my problem. That's something I had to do.
You're a good liar.
You
grab your balls,
you
I'm going to hit you in the nuts, I'm going to hit you in the chest.
You can say whatever you want, Nick. You can say, what about your face? Getting beat down? What was that? I can't understand gibberish. You know what I'm saying? So don't worry about it, Nick. I can say a lot of things about you, but you want to know what I can do, though? I do have respect, but not for you, but I have respect for any in the cage and everything else like that. So what? You can say whatever you want, my friend. We'll see you inside the ring, fist to your face, cheek to your face. Don't worry about it, man. It's all good. Talk as much as you want. You can't talk better than me because I'm too fly. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to jump in the
too
ring.
Too fly?
You're
going to
eat my balls.
Ass.
You're going to eat my fist and everything. Don't worry about it, man.
Your face looks like my balls without wrinkles.
You say I might be ugly, but I got more women than you. I got enough. I got one. I got a wife. I'm cool. I don't need any more. I got a daughter. I'm cool. My kids don't like you.
Is this about who gets more women?
My kids don't like you.
Is this really about who gets more women?
No.
Or how about you stop fighting?
I'm not worried about it, man. I'm not worried about what you say. You're nothing to me. You're like garbage. You're like, what are you doing, man? Nothing. Like I said, I'm eating dinner with my family.
If you want your kids to learn some real martial arts, you can send them over to my academy in Anaheim.
What academy? What? Oh, real martial what? You said real martial arts? I didn't understand that. Excuse me, you want martial arts? You don't even know what martial arts is. Come on, man, please. If you did, you would have more skill than you had. You would have been able to beat Feliciano. Come on, please, dude. Oh, and if Feliciano wants a rematch, you can do the same thing. Okay? And if Michael Clark wants to still fight instead of chickening out at Bama, he can fight too. Since I'm so not worried about Nick. But since Nick is right there, he can always join in the realms of the people who want to fight Mr. Morris right here. Mr. Steel Legs. Nick, don't worry about yourself, okay? I'll get rid of you for you, okay? Don't worry about that, all right? All right? And after I beat your
ass... Hey, Dimon, where'd you learn MMA?
Where'd you learn how to... Your mom's ass, that's where I learned how to fight, which is a pretty big dojo.
Michael Clark would kill you, bro.
In.
He would kill you. That's why you pushed out of that fight.
Pushed out of what fight, dude? Who? What fight? What dream are you talking about, guy? What dream are you having right now? Huh? You're coming up with stuff I don't even know what you're talking about. Ah, puts out weird, dude. Weird.
Oh my God. You know what I thought
weird.
Was funny when I fought you?
I don't put
you
out in no fight,
the first two times you kicked
puts
me.
Out.
I checked your first
and
two kicks. You didn't kick me
lucky,
for the rest of the fight.
You're lucky that I didn't get to
your,
fight
your,
you
your
last time.
Your nickname was Steel Legs. More like Chicken Legs.
And the motherfucker, I was going to kick your ass right
chicken
there while
legs.
You're sitting down with your little butt.
Chicken Legs Morris.
Oh, yeah, right, please. That's why you were in the background after the fight, fucking at the doctor's, hurting and couldn't even stand up because of my chicken legs. Oh, my God, dude.
That's a
oh
doctor.
God. Let me finish eating this steak right here. Wait, hold on. Let me take a bite. Yeah, hold on, dog. Why are you doing that? Are you eating, dude? You need to eat.
Now, you know what? Obviously, both you guys improved your game. You both fought on big shows since your last fight. Nick,
I give Nick his respect. Nick is a fighter. He does have talent. I'm not going to knock him down. You know, I talk a lot of shit, even though it's true. But Nick is he's a cool fighter. He does what he has to do. He's beating some cool people and things like that. And the last fight me and him did have, yep, I admit, so what? I didn't do what I needed to do. too bad for Mr.
Last fight, you did that with me and you last fight. Your last five fights you've done that, Damon.
What are you talking about? What last five fights? What are you talking about? You want to know what happened in my last five fights? They all chickened out. They all chickened out, man. They all chickened out.
Some promoter needs to do this as a championship fight because I want to see this go on for five rounds.
Oh, that's cool. We can do that. Hey, Nick, make sure you don't smoke anymore, man, so you can have wind. Okay? Make sure you don't smoke anymore, man. Hey, well, you should come running with me and my kids up in the mountains, sir. You want to do that? Hey, my son runs more miles.
You're running with you and your kids in the ghetto?
Yeah, in the ghetto? That's what you call the ghetto? So what, man? I'm proud to be around my people, dude, but it ain't the ghetto to me. Because I'm rich over here. Everybody over here is rich. You can talk all you want about the ghetto, homeboy, but it's a guarantee you wouldn't come over this way. You can talk all you want, run your mouth. You don't even know what the ghetto is. That's why you said it. Only ignorant people like you would say such things like that. Moron. Ah, you're an idiot, man. You shouldn't speak, dude.
Can you even read and
don't
write?
Talk. Can your mom read and write? Did your mom have two or three legs? Which one?
You're illiterate. Did you do it from high school?
Oh, I'm illiterate. I'm illiterate. I'm illiterate. I'm illiterate. Thank you.
You didn't even have a fucking GED,
high
school, bro.
Did I? Did I? Did your mom come from first grade? Did she get out of that? Who'd your dad marry? His brother? Or what? What are you talking about, man? According to what you look like, it's like...
Hey, Damon, you got to go get your wife. She's on the corner right now cooking. Go get her.
You're so funny, dude. You're so funny.
Get off the phone. Go get your wife.
She's cooking dinner, serving dinner. What are you talking about? You should come get some of this food. It's good. Come get some of this food. It's good. It's good. You want to eat some of this? It's good. Hold on. This is great. Man, but Nick, make sure you get your wind up. Make sure you don't smoke. You know, stay healthy, man. You know what I'm saying? It's cool. We can fight. You know, you can say ghetto. You can say ignorance. You can say I'm illiterate. You can say all these little big words that you think you know how to use. But those words are not going to mean anything in the ring. Nothing.
Can I jump in and ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Hey, I'd like to. What is she cooking? Because I'm a chef by trade for 18 years, so I always like to know what people are cooking.
Really, man, she's cooking. She cooks steak, some greens, and some white rice, and it's perfect.
Oh, see, I like smothered. I like smothered beef tips with collard greens and cornbread.
Oh, man, that's great. Hey, man.
Okay.
Hey, look. Hey, man. Hey. You don't have to be black to eat that stuff. It's all good. It's good, man. It's
Make
sure you make it to the fight. Make sure you take your blood pressure medication so you pass your physical.
What did you say? What did you say about your mom having no teeth? Man, you keep talking and all I hear is gibberish out of your mouth.
You're good at talking, bro. You're really good at talking.
Hey, man. Hey, so what? You're not. It's another
hey,
thing I'm better
all
than
all I gotta
you
say
at.
Is watch the film.
Hey, bro.
Watch the film.
Hey, bro. Why are you using bro? Isn't that some ghetto words, bro?
Oh, man.
It's gonna be fun retiring you.
I'm crying right now, dude. Oh, man.
It's
you're
gonna be
so
fun
funny.
Retiring
hey,
you.
I got this show like on Friday. You want to do this comedian skit with me, dude? You can be the puppet, okay? You're dumb. Nick.
Promoters, you need to get at us right away to get this fight booked. We need this book now. You can get a hold of me on Facebook. You can get a hold of me on the show's Facebook page. Just somebody, we need to book this fight because this is
man,
this thing is going to blow the roof off any venue.
Hey, Nick,
it's not really
going to
blow the roof off. It's going to be a fast fight. It's going to be one round. It's going to be
okay.
One round.
Whatever you say, man. We'll
okay.
Do it the way you want to do it.
All right, one round, three rounds, five rounds, whatever it is. When it's all said and done, are we going to be able to hug it out and be cool?
Hug who? Hug what? Hug Nick? Oh, he's still on the phone? Damn it. All right. Yeah, okay.
I'm not cool with this idiot.
I'm not cool with
yeah,
you,
beat
man.
That.
You're an idiot. Hey, look, all I know is that we shouldn't even do the weigh-ins together because I'm going to sock you right in your face, dog. The only person who's going to stop me from doing that is going to be Ray. He's going to tell me don't smack you before the fight. So I'm only going to not hit you because he's going to ask me to. But anything else, come on, dude. Stop being a pussy, man. You call me, I run. So it doesn't matter
you
what
like
I do
a
in
cheetah,
the game,
bro.
As long as I beat you. Huh?
You're
what was
like
that?
A cheetah.
Yeah.
You run like a cheetah.
Like a cheetah. Oh, you're just telling me that I'm fast. You just said I was slow. Oh, my God. Which one is it? Fast or slow? Fast or slow? Woo, man. I love you, Nick. No, I don't. But I do. You're funny as hell, dude. You should shut up more.
Are you talking to yourself?
Yeah, obviously I am, because you can't talk. Keep them coming, Nick. Keep them coming. I got more. I got more.
Well, I'm just going to listen to your ass talk, dude.
And so am I. I listen to me talk, too, because I'm the only dope one on here besides Ray. Oh, man, dude. Nick, you suck, dude.
Hey.
You practice all your jokes.
Demon, I'm the coolest Mexican Jew you'll ever meet, okay? So you got to put me on the other side.
My bad. Yes. Everybody on the show right now, except for Nick, is the dopest, the bombest, and I thank you guys, and I love you the most. Nick, shut up more often, dude. Come on,
your vagina, dinner. Make it to the fight. You're full of shit. You're a phony.
Hey, say some more. What do you got? Is that all you got? Full of shit. You're a phony. Full of shit. You're a phony. Slow, fast, which one is it, Nick?
Hey, Demond, before we wrap up this segment, I want, because you called in, and I'm going to give, Nick the same shot, you want to give any shout-outs to the fans so they can follow you on social media or anybody you want to shout out, any thank yous, please feel free.
He doesn't have social media. He doesn't have a computer.
The only people I want to give a shout-out to is to my manager, Ray, to my coaches, Master Jolie, to Ahmad Reese, the bombest super coaches in the world, man, and to my family and to my kids. Because you want to know why? My social media is my family, dog. That's what makes me get up and punch ugly punk-ass niggas like you in the face. Excuse me. Let me rephrase that. Ugly monsters like you in the face. Excuse me. My bad, dude. Almost got a little
Have you looked at yourself in the mirror lately, Zaman?
Excuse me? What was that? You spoke? The ignorant.
Have you looked at yourself in the mirror lately?
Yeah, I'm very ugly and handsome. Too bad. I could care less.
Demond, man, thank you so much. Look, we're going to have to get this fight set up for you two gentlemen somehow, somewhere in this country, and we're going to have you each back on to talk about it and help hype it up even more.
Yeah.
And go enjoy the rest of your night with your family, and I really appreciate you taking the time to call in, brother.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Demond. Talk to you later, brother.
Nick, same for you. Take this time. Anybody you want to thank, any shout-outs, any sponsors, the gym, social media, whatever you would like, take this time and get it out. It's yours.
Yeah, thanks to my teammates over at Rain MMA, sponsors Rev Gear, Vulcan, Fifth Roots for Life. They help support me so I could go beat ugly guys like this up.
Do you want to give a Hey, hold on. Are you there, Nick?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Oh, okay. You went quiet. I just saw we had a bunch of callers, and I just saw lines drop, and I thought you hung up. Do you have social media that the fans can follow you on?
Yeah, Twitter at Nick Mercenary. Nick Mercenary.
Well, Nick, I really appreciate you taking the time to come out tonight and talk with us. I appreciate the jab back and forth. With somebody
who sounds like... Yeah, promoters are out there, listen up. Let's put this fight on. I've been trying to fight them on for about 3 years. We had a draw on our record that I should have won that fight. So obviously I'm pissed off and I want to fix that. This guy just, obviously you can see, he just keeps on running his mouth. That was the story of the last fight. So I want to shut him up. So maybe hopefully we can get a fight in the L.A. area.
Well, hey, brother.
Hopefully somebody calls in and sets it up. You know, we're open, Chris Bunyan, me, get a hold of one of us, let's get this going.
Hey, Nick,
yeah.
Go enjoy the rest of your night. Thank you for taking the time to come on Sunday Night Fights Live with us.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, I also want to thank the caller. I know he got kind of lost in the jumble there, but I believe his name was Mike, if I'm not mistaken, who did want to come. We had quite a few callers who didn't want to come on air. They just wanted to voice the same opinion as Mike. He seemed to be the only one who wanted to talk about it. So, Mike, thank you for listening to the show and going out there and checking out Nick's video and feeling that and seeing that he was right and coming on here and saying that you felt that his call on that fight was accurate. So I want to thank the fans who listen to us each week. Ray, great show, great guests. Everybody's been great tonight. I mean, We've had a fantastic show. Obviously, we started off with Derek Martinez and then jumped over to John Robles, or I know I butcher that every time, but, you know, good luck to him. Dude, you know, I can't believe I host, you know, so many radio shows, and I have, like, the worst grammar in the world, man. I don't know how it happened, but also Nick and Diamond for both coming on and getting at it, letting us fans see how exciting this fight is. It sounds like, you know, Nick definitely wants to settle this, and I think it'd be nice to see some promotion down there put it on. I mean, they're going to sell a ridiculous amount of tickets. I mean, people are getting paid,
definitely.
Let me tell you.
This fight is a long time in the making. You know, Dumont is my fighter. You know, I manage him. I cornered him that fight. And there were some other things going on in that fight, too, that, you know, right now I'm in a media role. I'm not in the manager role, so I must keep it neutral. But there were some things in that fight that I saw, too, that weren't too flattering on Nick's side. And, you know, this is a fight that definitely needs to happen so we can have closure on both sides.
Well, you know, I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. Some of the best fights out there are draws that become rematches. There's always so much on the table. Obviously, there's, you know, ego and pride and bragging rights, and there's gyms for, you know, names, and there's your career, and there's your personal, you know, emotional fulfillment. There's so much on the line with a fight like this. It's got to get done.
Definitely, it needs to happen. There's no question about it. And, you know, like I said, any promoters want to step up, and you think your promotion can handle these two guys? Because, I mean, we barely handled them on the show, but if you think your promotion can handle them, definitely step up. I mean, we don't care. We'll fight in Mudlick, Kentucky. I don't care. I mean, it'd be great to have it here in L.A., but we'll take it anywhere.
I agree. And, so everybody knows, I didn't forget. I'm going to do it right now. I will be posting the Rough 12 full event link right now on Sunday Night Fights Live, because I forgot to do it earlier tonight when we were, when we were talking about it. So definitely for you guys this week, you need that fix. You guys check this event out. It is just crazy.
I definitely got to check that out.
Oh, you're going to love it. I mean, just great fights, every single fight. And, you know, remember, MMA in China is barely 2 years old. So it's super exciting to watch this. I thank you once again for a great, great time tonight on the show, man. Sunday Night Fights Live, man. Persist Headwear, Takedown Grappleware, MMA Madhouse, man, putting this together so that the fans can see this. They can feel this. And these are the kind of fights we want to see.
Definitely. I mean, you know, this is a win-win situation. It's good for them, good for the promoter, and good for the fans. And that's the most important, as long as it's good for the fans.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's what it's all about, man, is what – that's what people, you know, really need to understand. It is about what the fans want to see. Obviously, it is also about a fighter building his career and getting the victories and getting that progression. But when you're at a regional level, you have got to look at the fans and what they want to really put together some exciting fights. And I think this is a fight, you know, like we've said it 25 times tonight, this is a fight that needs to happen.
I mean, you know, with any fighter, we would be, you know, we would be nowhere without the fans. It would just be two guys beating the snot out of each other, you know, for nothing. So, you know, the fans are why we do this. You know, the greatest thing in the world is, I'll tell you, after Chaeryon won the belt, we're backstage, we're doing interviews. Some little kid, about 6 years old, comes back and wants to take a picture with the champ. That right there was priceless.
Oh, that's what it's about, man. You know, like we talked about earlier tonight, once again, these kids today growing up who have guys like, you know, that are up there in the Bellators, the Zuffas, the World Series, you know, fighting, you know, these kids today who are looking at them and maybe instead of doing an after-school soccer program at 9, they just say, Mom, can I do some BJJ? You know, or maybe a 14-year-old, instead of going out for the football team, he decides to take kickboxing or Muay Thai classes after school. You know,
that's what gets it, is when these kids come in and they meet a Tarion after a title win, and this 10-year-old is like, you know, hey, can I get your autograph? I mean, that's the biggest thing in the world to a kid like that. That could change his whole outlook on decisions that he's going to make in the long term in his life by meeting somebody who carries themselves so well and is such a great champion as Tarion.
Or you look at, like, Jens Pulver said it best. After one of his retirement fights, there's some kid right now in the sixth grade who's going to beat me.
Hey, I tell you right now, I know he's not listening because he's an East Coast kid. Ben Bag Geek, ridiculous, number one 14-year-old in the world in both gi and no gi. And I was talking to him a couple months back. We've been following his career since he was about 14. He's 17 now, and the kid is only getting better and better and better, winning. But I started looking at, you know, things he was telling us, and he's 9 or 10 years old, he started kickboxing. 8 or 9, he started Brazilian jiu-jitsu. You know, he's going to be 18 next year and be able to start doing amateur MMA, and he's going to have as much as 10 years under his belt and experience already. That's just unheard of.
Well, I'm telling you, we have a kid over here. Well, he's actually in Orange County, Joaquin the Machine Ocampo, and he's been doing BJJ since he was, I believe, 6, and he's 11 now. He's also ranked in the world, one of the top kids in his age group. I've seen him at 8 years old go triple overtime with a 17-year-old. I mean, this kid is a beast, and, you know, it runs in his blood. You know, he's trained by his uncle, the late, great Joe Camacho, and, you know, now he's out there training in the OC. He's trained with Wanderlei Silva. This kid is a beast, and I'm honestly, I can't wait till he's ready to make the jump to MMA, because hopefully, Joaquin, if you're out there listening, you're going to be a takedown fighter. You know, he's already came out with us. You know, he supports us. He comes out, walks out with us when we walk out for the fights. You know, he's a big fan of Tarion Ware. You know, they're good friends. You know, we try to support him as much as we can. And Joaquin the Machine Ocampo, watch out for that name. This kid is going to be the UFC or Bellator champ one day.
Say, I love it. I think Tony might be listening tonight. Either that or he just knows how this show rolls. Man, definitely a classic, man. I mean, I don't know, man. This is going to be a good one. I could definitely say our year-end review, I bet you we talk about this. Oh. Well, we got a few minutes left, man. Do you want to talk about anything? Do you got anything you want to get out there? Any information? Anything you want to wrap up? What's up?
No, I mean, definitely, you know, I know Tony Padilla's out there listening. You know, I saw him this weekend at the fight. He got a little upset with me because I wouldn't drink with him. But we hadn't fought yet, so I can't be drunk in the corner. I actually didn't corner. It was actually great to sit back and watch the fight. A little nerve-wracking, but it was great. Tony Padilla's got a big show coming up May 3rd, I believe it is, Hollywood Park Casino, Sparks Star MMA with, you heard it last week, with Marvin Cifuentes, Dub C. We're going to be in concert there. I mean,
yep.
Great night of fights, and you get to see Dub C. I know me, you know, I'm gonna be sea walking with my prosthetic leg.
Oh my gosh, that makes me want to drive down.
Definitely, I mean, yeah, that's when you should come out for Skippy.
Dude, oh, that's hilarious. Oh man.
You know, and that's actually going to be a great day for fights here in L.A. because also, too, you got on that same day, you got IFS at the Industry Hills Expo Center doing Muay Thai. You know, Master Sean over there at IFS puts on a great show. In fact, Tarion's first professional bout came from IFS in their Pro 1 division. That's where they had a hybrid sport. It was one round boxing, one round Muay Thai, and one round MMA. So Tarion holds their 135-pound bout. So winning the Bantam title was his second pro championship, and he's had two amateurs, so, you know, he's been champion 4 times. Well, next, we're looking for that UFC or Bellator belt.
So I'm thinking, you know, we talked a little bit earlier tonight with John about Kevin Groom. He's fighting Anthony Burschak. If he wins or loses, and I'll be honest, I love both guys. They're really good friends of mine. And if I've got to pick, like, there's a gun to my head and I have to pick, I'm going to pick Anthony. It sucks to say that because they're both really good friends. But, you know, somebody has to lose. You know that as well as I do. I would like to see maybe you, as Terrion's manager, start tagging Mark Pavlich in the MFC because they're building a 135 division right now. And if he's already grabbed, you said, four titles?
Yes.
Then you should throw his name up there, man. You should start, you know, put, you know, I'll even get you some info to contact them. And I know how it works there. And I think you got a good shot to get him in there. I really do.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, MFC is a great promotion. We would love to be there. I've tried before when his record was smaller and they didn't want to hear it, but now at 11-2, you know, they got to listen now.
Well, especially because just a year ago, they just finally started a 135 division, and just a few months ago, Anthony Burschak won the first ever title there. So they need to start building that roster, and I know they're starting to look at some guys. Definitely, I know they're bringing a 135er in from Hawaii who's like 11-1 or 12-2, right in that same range. So, yeah, definitely, man. We need to get Mark and David and them to look at and Scott Zier, to all of them, to look at him. And I think it'd be a great place for him to fight. Good exposure, you know, and he's not – as long as he can go to Canada, you know. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Oh, yes, Ray, now is the time.
Yeah.
You know why? Because they're about to cut a deal with the Hard Rock in Las Vegas for their first show. What a show. You could bring Terrion at 135 to fight for Maximum Fighting Championship at the Hard Rock Casino in Las Vegas because they're going to need
that
some locals.
Perfect.
We got to get on this, brother. We got to get on this.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
I will get you the information you need in the next day or so. At most, by tomorrow night, you'll have it, the contact info. I have it. I just got to pull it all together for you and send you an email. But I will send you what you need and just send them a bio and maybe a highlight video or something. Let's get him on that card, man. Let's push. We're going to get, you know, once we find out what the deal is, we'll make a big push because they're about social media push. We'll need to start calling them out, man. You need Terrion on that, you know, MFC Vegas card.
Definitely. I mean, that would be perfect.
Phew. Look at that, man.
He loves fighting Vegas. In fact, he's in Vegas right now.
Ha-ha. Well, we're going to work on this. For all the fans out there and all our great sponsors at MMA Madhouse, and especially the great sponsors who support Sunday Night Fights Live every single week and Persist Headwear Taiwan. Thank you, brother. We got mad love. Obviously, Takedown Grapplewear, Mr. Ray Lopez, the host, the Intercontinental Champ of MMA Talk. Thank you also for sponsoring and supporting this show and all of local MMA for that. You know,
thank you.
It was a great show, man. And I say let's wrap it up a little early tonight.
Let's do it because, yeah, this show was – everything was built out to be. So, yeah, I think we're done for today.
Yes. Well, brother, you have a good night. All the fans out there, support local MMA and Eagle!